Hey guys, welcome to Bear with Leif. This is episode 30. Sam, can you believe I've done 30 episodes of this?
I can, because you're so good at this.
Aw, shucks. Man, this guy, he knows how it works. Today I'm joined by Sam Rose.
Hello.
How you doing, Sam?
So tired.
Yeah, it's real late. We got very distracted, and now it's way past both our bedtimes. So let's just get into it so I can go home and go to bed. All right, guys, bye. Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, actually. I had too much coffee this morning.
Oh, God.
And I'm really not good with coffee, and it really, like, fucks my anxiety up.
Oh,
and so I had, like,
no.
a real bad day until we started podcasting.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah, coffee's rough. I find there's a very fine line. Like, I'll ride that wave and kill it all day, be the man. But if I break that and I just go, like, one cup too far, not even a cup, like a couple sips too much, that's it. The rest of the day, I'm a nightmare. Just a train wreck.
Oh,
so
it was
gross.
The worst. I had like a very large cup of coffee at like 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't normally drink coffee.
Sure.
But I was like, I'm studying, so I really got to like get into it. And I just had I had a very small anxiety, not very small, an anxiety attack today.
Yeah.
I was like almost in tears. Like it was so bad.
Oh yeah. Especially when you're studying and stuff, that's a nightmare. It's rough. I'm slowly learning. I'm trying to like keep the coffee to a 3-cup max in a day.
Oh wow.
Which is still a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm not going past that. I mean, right. I used to drink 2 giant energy drinks a day.
Totally.
And like my heart surprisingly didn't explode.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to keep it at like that's the max. Like I'll have like half a cup in the morning, mm-hmm. 2 small cups at work, and that's it.
I can't do that. Like I know how badly it like messes with my emotions, and I still do it.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
understand.
Rough.
I need to stay away from basically like
See,
all
I
stimulants.
Counteract it with chemistry. Zoloft.
See, okay, that's interesting. When I was in college, my first midterm, I was like very nervous about, so I just bought some Adderall from some kid.
Oh, there you go.
And that's meth.
Yeah, it's
apparently.
Speed. That's literal speed.
Yeah, and like I have like a bit of a heart problem, and
oh,
so my heart
God.
Was like just racing for like 2 days straight. I like couldn't sleep, and I like it was the worst feeling I had in my entire life. And like that's kind of how I feel when I drink like a big cup of coffee.
Nice.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I cannot do that anymore.
No, that sounds terrifying and painful.
Oh boy, it was not good.
No, not at all. Well, I'm glad to see you're doing better.
I feel great now.
Yeah, we just had a very fun episode with a friend of ours for UFOlogy.
So great.
I guess we always talk about podcast stuff. I had you and Brian on. We talked a lot about podcasting. But to tell you the truth, I don't know a lot about before that. So like, why? You're a stand-up comedian. We actually kind of, in a roundabout way, started at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little improv before that, but then, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. What got, why, how, when, just lay it out for me.
Well, I'll just start, like, when I, like, actually started doing comedy, like, for real. Because I did it a little bit in California.
Yeah.
And it was, like, just a couple of mics, and then that was it. But then when I came to New York, that's when I really started going
before,
for it.
So before that, I love, like, why did you do the first mic you did? Do you remember?
Well, I was in a rut. Like, emotionally, I was in a rut, and I had always thought about doing stand-up, but I didn't know, like, there weren't really, like, a lot of opportunities to do it when, you know, when I was a kid or anything like that. And then I was living in L.A. at the time, so there were some opportunities, and my ex-girlfriend was like, you have to do it.
Yeah.
She's like, you really have to do it. And I was like, okay.
Was that dark time after you guys broke up?
No.
No. Okay.
No,
cool.
No, this is like
a long, long time ago.
Yeah. This was just like me, just like a normal dark time for me. Just like,
Fair.
You know, one of my dark times.
Hey, listen, we believe me.
No.
It happens.
No, not even a little bit. She was like, you have to do it. Like she
oh,
was
that's
very
awesome.
Supportive of it. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like I wouldn't have done it without her.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never imagined I would ever do comedy. And even if I thought about it out loud, people were like, ha ha, you're crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Like, oh, okay. Totally. That's awesome. So that's the first time you did that. And then mm-hmm. you came to New York.
Yeah.
What brought you to New York?
Grad school. Yep.
For archaeology. That's cool as shit. That's so smart.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. We'll see if I pass my preliminary exams and then we'll talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's tough. I can never imagine going back to school. I did it. I somehow made it through alive. Yeah. Still surprises me. And I'm not made for the classroom. I get real tired and bored real fast. I am a distraction and yeah. just the worst.
I feel that way too. I somehow elected to go back, you know,
you're stronger than
for many more years.
Yeah, no, I cannot. I mean, now I'm in a new school. Score of hard knocks.
There you go. The streets.
Yeah, no, it's real bad. Okay, so I got your back. We're getting there. So you're in New York now. Mm-hmm. What got you to do the next mic, like the first mic in New York? And then like what changed your mind to really get serious about it?
So the first mic I did was in December of like the first year that I was living here. Mm-hmm. I did the Creek. And then it was at 4 o'clock and I was like, oh, okay, that was cool. Right. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to go home. And then I was on the train and I saw Sam Reddy. Do you know, you're familiar with her? She's like a college humor and everything like that.
She's one of the funniest people I've ever met. She's like, amazing.
She's going to be on my next show coming up. Actually.
What? Nice. Yeah.
So this is actually, it's so weird. So I saw her on the G train and I was like, well, I should just go say hi, which is weird because I don't do that like at all. And I was going to say hi. And she's like, oh yeah, like I'm going to this next mic. And I was like, oh, there's more than one. Like there's more than one in one night. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just go. And I totally just like tagged along with her. Like,
yeah.
She has no idea who I am now. But yeah. like, I just like completely, like I just like tagged along with her to this next mic. And I did two that night. And I was like, wow, like check me out. Like I did two mics.
Big shot.
Two mics in one night. All right.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And then I didn't do it for a year after that.
Yeah. It's doing multiple mics in a night is tough. Cause mostly just the waiting.
Yeah.
You could be waiting around for 2 hours at one mic.
Right. Right.
If it doesn't line up. Yeah. It's tough, but that's
the Creek
awesome.
Was fine. The Creek was great. Cause there was like 10 people there and I went up with, you know, and there was, you got 4 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. I probably did like 2.5 and like I got a decent reaction enough to want to go and do another one.
Yeah.
And I did this other one in Williamsburg. I don't remember where it was, but, I waited forever. And I had to follow like this senior citizen woman who was just like going up to do it. She brought her girlfriends and she was just like, I'm going to do it. And she was fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
She like did this like she everything she said rhymed. Like she did like funny, cool like poetry. And I was like, God damn it. God damn it. And like I went up there and I was like, so my mom wants me to have kids. Oh, man. You know, like and it was like. And then the next day I woke up and I was like, okay, where are the next mics? And then for some reason I was just like, you're never going to make it. And then I just like, okay, that's it. And I stopped doing mics for like for an entire year. And then when the next time I started doing mics, that's when I really started getting into it. And that was like a year ago.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I did the same thing. I mean, I did mics 4 years ago mm-hmm. and like I enjoyed it and I loved it and I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But my fear overwhelmed that and it made me so anxious that I had to, and I had a set that just bombed terribly. And the thing is, when I get like as an anxiety, very anxious person, mm-hmm. Whenever I have an anxiety attack, my mind goes blank.
Yeah.
Like I literally can't think of anything. Like it's not like I just, there's no brain, there's no processes going on.
Totally.
And so I just had like the worst set and I was like, oh yeah, I'll never do this or anything. And it was... funny enough, after that set, which is one of the three worst times I ever bombed. The funny thing is, the first time I ever really bombed, and on the way home, I saved a dog. It was like running around my street, and I just like picked it up, and I was like, "Where do you live?"
Uh-huh.
And I put it back down, and it like kind of showed, like it started like walking down the street, and then I stopped and I saw like an open door, like a little bit farther. I picked him up and like brought him back. I was like, "This is yours." And I was like, yeah, I feel much better.
I saved the night.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, let me not do comedy and just save the world instead. Did neither.
I spent the time not going to Mike's, going to the gym. I literally, like, for like a year, I chose the gym over doing comedy, which now I could never imagine myself
leading
doing.
Leading up to comedy, I did. That helped me lose a lot of weight, which was great. But no, I did that for a long time. So I just needed something to fill the time.
Yeah. And like, that won't make you feel bad. You know, like, I mean, you might not, like, maybe you'll, like, fail a set or something like that or whatever, like, at the gym, but it doesn't hurt as bad as when you fucking bomb in front of,
the people you want. You're like, I like these people. I'm going to impress them. I brought my A game. And just for some reason that day, it all falls flat.
Totally.
I've bombed in front of, like, girls I've tried to impress.
Oh, for
sure. It's just a nightmare.
Oh,
it's
me
so
too.
I mean, at this point, I'm just broken. And I'm just like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lie. I care so much all the time.
I still really care, but like, I'm starting to come to the realization. It's like, I would so much rather, like, the pain I feel when I bomb is so much better than the pain I feel when I do something else so poorly.
Yeah.
Like, doing stand-up comedy is like the only thing that I don't mind failing at.
Yeah.
Everything else, I just won't. Like, if I don't think I'm going to be good at it, I just won't do it.
Yep.
Or if I do something and it goes badly, I'll never do it again. But like comedy, I do it every night, and not every time. It doesn't go well every time, you know.
No.
But like, I still allow myself to keep putting myself through that.
I do it all the time. Actually, for the most part, I'm pretty stubborn. I stick with stuff. But comedy, I mean, I have been abused severely by comedy, it doesn't, like, in the long run, it doesn't affect me. Sure, I'll get bummed out, or like maybe a bad set will stick with me.
Yeah.
But like, I'm still like, well, all right, those jokes were pretty bad. Let me write some new ones, see what we got next week.
Oh, yeah.
Give it a whirl.
For sure.
Yeah, I need to. I love the podcast game and I love producing, but it's been taking me out of doing stand-up. I mean, I was sick, but anyway, blah blah blah. So there we are, you did your first set in New York, you're on board, you're doing it for a year and a half. That's awesome. And so we started at the same time. It's been a lot of fun doing this. Also, you are the reason I do podcasting.
Well, that is,
like, I started my podcast, which was fine, it was fun, but then it was like you, Brian Bahi, and my friend Crystal, and Caitlin. It just, I happened to see a few of you. You were actually the first person. We were like at macaroni and cheese party at Rachel's.
Yeah.
And I, on a manic high, was like, I want to start a podcast network. And you were like, all right, this is what I want to do. And I was like, fuck, that's a really good idea. I really thought, I was like, oh, I'm just blown off steam. And then it ended up working. And it turned out it's my favorite thing in the world, producing stuff.
Oh, great. God, it's the best. I'm so glad that there's someone who's willing to sit through me and Brian just jabber about aliens for 45 minutes.
Are you kidding me? It's hilarious. A lot of my friends who have heard about it and started listening to your podcast, I've gotten hilarious results from them. Them being like, this is the fucking best podcast. They love it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I have one friend who, he actually, I can't remember which one it was, but he commented. He was one of the people commented on iTunes. He was on board. He thought it was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I just recently looked at the reviews on iTunes. And I'm like, okay, well, I know one of those is Adam Suzanne. Which is great. I love Adam. Shout out to the Suzanne.
It says, Suzanne.
Yeah. So shout out. And then I saw some other ones. And I was like, who are these are people that I'm pretty sure I don't recognize. Like, we should shout these people out, because, like, I can't believe there's people that are actually listening to this.
Oh, you should. Oh, my God. My friend would be totally into that.
Okay.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay, great.
You know, I mean, he may very well hear this and then know that in like a month, but it'll be like a month and a half, and it'll be like,
right,
oh, cool.
Nice.
All right.
For sure. Because I just recently found out that I thought people used to like make fun of me, like, oh, no one's listening to that. Like, maybe your mom is, right? And then it turns out that my mom doesn't even listen to Ufology.
It's so funny. All my friends are like, oh, I haven't downloaded. Or today a friend is like, oh, I finally downloaded.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I think initially I would have been bummed out if I knew, but that means a lot of people who aren't my friends are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't measure the statistics yet.
Yeah.
But the thing is, even on Twitter, people are friending me, being like, I enjoyed your podcast. Like,
that's so great.
I have no connection to these people. They just found it by searching it, and they're on board. And I'm just like, this is the coolest thing
ever.
That's
so rad.
It's so much fun.
I love it. Like, I have some really good friends from back home that are now we're all in grad school in like completely different places. One of them's in San Diego. One of them's doing grad school in England. I'm in New York. And so we don't get to see each other very often anymore, but like every Monday they send me, we have a group message on Facebook, and every Monday they tell me their favorite part of the ufology episode.
Oh my god.
And they listen to it immediately when it comes out.
So you're
like,
an international thing.
We're gonna, well, he going just so international, baby. He just started doing my friend Will, shout out to Will, just started doing grad school in England. So we're gonna have some overseas downloads now.
Nice. Yeah. International podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's what we do here. It's what we do here at the Brain Machine Collective.
For sure.
That's awesome. So comedy, you're doing stand-up, you do podcasting.
Yep.
It's hard for me to ask these questions because we've probably gone over all these questions like in detail.
Yeah, probably.
But what does your writing process look like for the most part? Like,
writing,
how do you
stand-up
go?
Or writing? Because now I'm doing I'm writing like a bunch of other things too, but like
writing
for stand-up.
Do both. Yeah, like what does the process look like?
Like, I never sit down to write for stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always like I have an idea in my head and then I'll just say it over and over and over and over again in my head, like when I'm on the train or all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Literally all I think about is bits.
Yeah.
So like I'll see something.
I need to get to that point. I think I don't think about that enough, and I think I let a lot go by.
Yeah, maybe.
If I make somebody laugh, the first thing I should say is, why is that funny? And write it down. But I don't, because if somebody's laughing, I'm like, cool, I got it. And then I'll say something else, and it's like, I basically am like tickling them, like, ooh, I got them, haha. And then I don't think about it. An hour later, I'll like, they'll get the text being like, why was that funny?
Yeah.
What was that? What
was so funny?
Yeah. Or the worst is like the next day being like, so you actually said something was funny? Do you remember what that was? And
yep.
Like, what? No, get out of here.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, like every time I'm on the train, I'm just like constantly thinking about how to phrase jokes, I guess. And so like I've never been the person to like have a notebook with like jokes like written all the way out the way exactly I'm gonna say it.
Sure.
And I'll just try it out different ways as many times as I possibly can until I find something that works.
It's
not like writing from the stage and that like I'm just riffing until I find something that's funny that I turn into a bit, but it's just like I never have everything written out word for word.
I could riff.
Oh, I can't.
I can't. I'll get like, I need the majority of a joke written.
Yeah.
And I'll find the wording on stage, maybe.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I still write it out from beginning to end when I sit down. I actually sit down and will write stuff out because I have a terrible memory, mm-hmm. mostly to do with the anxiety.
Right.
Like, it just gets too crazy. So I have to, like, see it in front of me. And I can almost, like, a math problem, like, be like, mm-hmm. oh, well, actually, this section and this section can go together. And then I can get this section out of it.
See, I wish I could
do
that.
But I need to write that. Like, I can't. I mean, it's helpful for me, but at the same time, like, I can't do the thing on the train. Like, that's why I always have a pen
mm-hmm.
or a pencil behind my ear and mm-hmm. my notebook, is because I can't just think about it.
Right.
If I think about it, I start obsessing about it, and then eventually very quickly just goes to me being like, I'm the worst.
Oh, that's what I do. No, that's exactly what I do.
Fair.
And I always have a notebook and a pencil with me, but I just use that. Like right before I go on stage to write down the note, to write down the jokes that I want to do, so I don't forget them.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, like I'd never really like try and write things out. And so it's like, it's kind of a bummer because like I'll like obsess about something on the train for like 20 minutes, like just like a little bit, like what's the best way to say that? And then I'll get it. I'm like, that's it. And then I never write it down and I lose it.
Oh, yeah, you just gotta, it took me a while to, honestly, it was teaching that got me into it. Just like write down everything. Just write it down all the time. Even if it's awkward, I hate being that guy in the train with like a giant yellow legal pad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like taking it out of my bag, taking the pencil from behind my ear and writing it down. But at this point, it's like, I gotta write the words down or I'm gonna lose them. Half the time, I'll be halfway through and just be like, it's gone.
Yeah.
Totally lost the rest of it. Right. And it's like, it's forever.
Well, see, I write down like a, like if I'll write down a premise,
sure,
and just like flesh it out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but never word for word. And I feel like I should be doing that because maybe it'll get me thinking. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I'm not really sure. But
I try. I sometimes I just write a word down. I'll try riffing on it. It's very rare it works. I'm better if I write the whole thing out and then as long as I get close to the words, it'll get better. Honestly, what I started doing recently, it's been helpful, is recording.
Uh huh.
Which has been, I hate the sound of my voice.
You mean like recording a mic set or recording like when you're just at home?
I've been playing around a little bit. Taking out all this gear and recording at home has been helpful for a couple of jokes, but I haven't done it recently because it's just a pain in the ass to take it all out. But I should start doing that. I want to get to the point where I memorize some of the stuff just because some of the old bits that I'm just not going to go back and fix. It would be nice to just know what they are, know the flow,
right?
Because I always forget. And I did a show with one of my favorite comedians, and like I did a show and I had to keep notes with me because I have no memory. Like I physically, I just, not physically, but I can't remember the set. And I was just like wildly embarrassed that in front of these people. And like, of course, the other people that were at the show where I'm like, oh, I love all these people. And now I have notes. God damn. But
I don't know. I think it's better to have notes than to, you know.
It's better to have notes than fit. Because the thing is, I also use them like relatively just like, I'll be there, do a joke, take a quick look down. It was just words to remind me where to go,
of course.
Which was great.
I'll write it on my hand sometimes.
I want to get away from that as much as possible because for the most part, I'm pretty good with getting it all. Like I'm usually pretty good. I can be pretty good. I just need to memorize it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I obsess with the words so much. Like I will sit down with like poets and stuff and like no joke, like poets and writers and be like, I want the funniest words out of this. And like, I'll tell them how I said it. They'll be like, well, maybe this, try this. And I'll be like, okay, let me try this. And like, I will keep barraging them until I get the right words. But now I'm getting totally sidetracked, but, we were talking about writing. What was I had like a great point. I got so sidetracked. Fuck. We're talking about writing and comedy. Oh, man, that weather is weird outside, right?
So weird. It was
oh,
like,
boy.
Actually, today was beautiful. Was the beautiful. Other day.
So it was actually the nicest day.
The day before that was weird and rainy.
Yeah, it got cold, but then today was beautiful. I was walking around at lunch. It was the best day. As far as I'm concerned, it was the nicest day of the year.
Oh,
it
for
was
sure.
So great.
Oh, for sure.
So great. Still hasn't come back to me. So we will just come back to this another time. So think about writing.
Yeah.
And it was something I know the one thing I was going to say is riffing is something I can't do. I get very nervous.
I wish I could. I wish I could be better at riffing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yes, we did it. The coolest thing, and this is not this is just fun. I got somebody recorded a set I did on a camera, like the video. And I have been having a real tough go recently, given I've been sick. Very sick the last few weeks, and I have been doing only a couple mics a week. I just feel like I'm the worst comedian. And then I saw, like, I hate my voice. Nothing gets me used to my voice. The podcast is getting better, but a set, no good.
Yeah.
What, seeing me do comedy on stage, I actually thought it was great.
Is this the one where you had to change your voice?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was great.
I think I need to, I just need to slow down. I need to talk more on stage like I talk on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's slower. It's cooler. Yeah. I'm also funnier when but I just get so nervous.
Well, especially because you tell stories on stage or and I feel like stories are more conversational and people who are speaking conversationally usually speak slower. So
exactly.
I think it totally would work well for like the style of comedy you're trying to do.
And it is. My best sets are the sets I was like, I would go up there and I would try something and it wouldn't work. I'd just be like, man, you know what I saw in the, like, and like, I mean, so silly, but like, you saw what I saw in the news today, guys, just like start talking to people.
So what else is going on?
But it's always like the weird ass stuff, like the clown scare.
Right.
We were talking about yesterday. Like that's fascinating.
Oh,
it's insane. It's terrifying and
so
hilarious.
Scary. So scary.
It's so scary. And clowns are like inherently terrifying and hilarious. It makes the whole, and like, I just have been like bringing that up on stage and just like, and that's just like an example. Like I'll just go off on that. And it's like, those are always my better sets because I'm just having fun and talking. And I feel so confident because I know what I'm doing. I'm just talking about information. I'm not looking to be funny. And that's the stuff that kills.
Yeah.
But next time I go up, just be like, stop it.
Okay.
And then I'll remember. Because honestly, most of the time, I just forget. On my set list, on the top, I'll even say, take a breath. Like, take a deep breath. And on the way up, I'm just kind of like,
totally.
I'm like, what? Why would I throw my notepad away? I need that.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
I've done the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. But all right, enough about me. Just kidding. Always about
always
me.
About,
always
why
about
would,
me.
Yeah.
All the time. Writing process, we did it. Are you a ritual guy? I haven't talked about rituals in a long time.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with them. Like I love a good big breakfast in the morning.
Oh, I see.
Partially because I just like the nutrition behind it, but I like having that in the morning. Like when I get up, get the coffee, get the food,
right,
10 minutes to myself in the morning, and then I'm out, I'm gone. Yeah. And same with like writing and reading. Like I read before I go to bed, read on the train. I like certain rituals. I'm into it. Ritualistic.
The only thing I can think of is like I literally can't fall asleep without listening to a podcast.
Sure, that's a thing.
So I will, like, probably since like 2012, I haven't fallen asleep without a podcast.
Do you do anything before sets, specifically like a show or something?
No.
I used to like straight up do like yoga.
Right.
Like especially improv, I would be in the back. I don't like sitting. Like right. I like moving around. Like if I go see a show, I'm the guy in the back corner just like pacing back and forth, having the time of my life.
Absolutely.
But I like being in the back and I like just being almost like left alone.
Yeah, me too.
But before a show, I used to like straight up do yoga. If I have the time in the room, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But recently I have not. I don't move. You don't obviously move around nearly as much. So right. I've gotten out of that habit, mm-hmm. but I want to get back into it because it helps me relax.
Yeah.
I should start doing that. Except if I do it at mics, one, there's no room. There's too many people packed in a small space. Also, sure. I don't want to be the guy who's known for doing yoga in the back of the room before they do a 2-minute open mic set afternoon.
No, you definitely don't want to be the worst. That guy. Yeah.
No, not at all. I don't want that. No. I don't need help being a guy at a mic.
That would be so weird.
Oh, now do I have to start doing it?
Just like maybe do it once, or that could be one of the challenges at Ange Noir to do yoga.
I want that challenge. I just want to tell them, be like, I just want to give myself this challenge. Yeah. Can I please do that?
I'm sure they would allow that.
They probably would be totally cool with that. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
No, I don't really have anything, like, especially not when it comes to comedy. Probably because I don't think I've ever found anything that I do that has made that works. Do you know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah. No,
like,
I'm
right, I feel like a lot of ritual or like, you know, something or like superstition comes from something like, oh, that something went really well that time. Yeah, so I'm going to do that. It's like, I've never been at a point where I was like, that was so great that I need to replicate everything that came before that. So
I have a hard time with that because the obsessive gene kicks in and like I used to be really bad, but I'm getting better with that. Now I just like doing, if I have everything right, in a perfect world, I could do yoga, like 2 minutes of it, just to stretch out, get the blood flowing, feel better, and a glass of, just like a mug of tea.
Right.
Just like hot tea. Yeah. I am good to go.
Right.
Most bars don't sell that.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get a tea. And the thing is, when I did improv, it was always like at venues. I would just come in with like a Dunkin' Donuts or something, usually totally cool. Or they would make tea. It was like a restaurant.
Yeah.
But I feel like with stand-up, it's always like a bar. Yeah. And it's like bare bones.
Yeah, for
sure. Like, do you have iced tea?
No.
At all? No. Like, can I have water? Nope. You can't.
We don't even have that.
We've got beer. That's it. We have beer and then other beer.
Beer and whiskey.
Yeah,
that's
beer, whiskey. Yeah, that's here you go. Oh, so many times I've been like, hey, can I get a Diet Coke? And they're like, yep, here you go with whiskey.
Right, with whiskey.
Oh,
in it.
No.
Yeah.
I'm so, and I always have to be like, I feel bad because there are very few people just come in with, like, with all these other people drinking. I'm like, can I have a Diet Coke?
Right.
And it's always a Jack and Coke.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. No. Sorry.
Just the Coke. Yeah. I think ritual is very appealing to me. Like, I always sort of yearn for that. Like, I always, like, when I have friends, like, I want us to have like a secret handshake or something like that. Or
I've got
like
an idea. We can do yoga before open mic.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going? Sam, come back. No.
Like, okay, so, you know, like, I just started hosting this show.
Fetch at the, where is it?
Experiment Comedy Gallery.
It's so good. When's the next one?
No.
I mean, we'll get to that in plugs. This is for me, specifically.
The next one is October 29th.
October 29th. Oh, that's not good.
It's right before Halloween.
Unless that's what I have something in my calendar that has no name. I'm hoping it was that.
Okay, I hope so too. It's like, it'll be a great lineup.
Yeah.
But, so like, I host it with Jess Reed, a friend of mine. And so we didn't do anything before, anything special before the first show, and this is going to be the second one. And so I've been thinking about like proposing that we do something before every show, like we go to the same restaurant and eat something, or we like do the same sort of, we listen to the same song or whatever like that. But now I'm sort of afraid that if I propose that and we do that and it just goes horribly, then it's like, then what?
I know exactly what you're saying, but it's team building,
right?
It's for the best. It will definitely benefit. But no, I feel that it's like your last show was so good.
It was
so good.
It was the first one, and we were both so nervous about it, and like it went way better than we possibly
could
have
imagined.
It was a home run.
You guys did. You had a great crowd. You had great comics. Yeah. It was perfect.
It was so good.
Yeah, I would say don't worry about it. It'll be great. And you guys had a great chemistry on stage, I don't think that would change. Yeah, if anything, the more you guys get to know each other, the more fun you'd be able to have
on
stage.
We hang out all the time now.
Nice. And like,
at the end of the show, she was like, you know, I was really nervous about the banter up top. You know, that's not a reflection on you or anything. I was just really nervous about it, but it went so well. And I was like, I know it did. Like, yeah, I was very surprised.
And you guys did the right amount too. Like,
yeah,
was,
not too
like,
much.
You guys had fun. It was natural. It was great. It had a whole arc to it.
Yeah.
And then you guys went right onto the comics and it was a fucking home run.
Oh,
dude,
it was
your
like,
show was so good.
It was like the best time of my life. I was like so happy with it.
Yeah. Oh, I could tell afterwards. You were, I could see you from three blocks away.
Oh, it was the best.
It was, you were glowing.
It was the best.
Amazing.
And then I got to go out to a bar with some of the comedians that were on my show who I admire very much, and
nice.
It was like I got to have cool conversations with them, and it was like, oh, it was the best.
Yeah, I was just hanging out, and like two comedians who I totally have, I'm like total, like I think they're two of my favorite comedians, just came up to me, they're like, oh hey man, like, and we just started talking about, I can't even remember what we were talking about, but it was just like nonsense. It was just like something that had nothing to do with comedy, which is funny because if we talk about comedy, I will fold because I'm just like, you're good, I'm bad, I'm out.
Yeah, I'll just start listening.
Yeah.
That's anytime I talk to someone who I like, anytime I talk to like a comedian who I admire, like I, even if they're just like another open mic or whatever, but someone who's been in it longer or something like that, I'm always just like, I just shut the fuck up and I just listen to what they're saying. And then I'm just now sort of realizing like maybe they're thinking it's weird because that I'm not like reciprocating or anything. I'm like, no, tell me everything. Like, I want to know what you do. Like,
yeah, I think the podcast is doing Bear with Leif has helped me with that. I'm getting better one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I had two people last week and the thing is they're friends of mine and I still like, they've been doing comedy way more than me. And I just listened. And I was like, no, I need to be hosting.
But
I'm like terrified. Thank God they said something. It was like something to do with something totally else. And I was like, oh, I can contribute to this and not be worried.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrifying. Comedians are scary.
I know. They don't mean to be either.
I know.
Just like,
it's really just like, it's in my head. I'm making them scary.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's because like, I don't, I still feel weird saying that I'm a comedian.
I hate it.
I hate saying it. And I was at this show one time and with some other comedians, we had like walked over from a mic to this show. And, we were talking to one of the hosts, who's sort of like a, you know, he hosts like a really good show, like sort of a big man.
Yeah.
And, I'd never met him before. And so we were all talking like out front after the show. And he's like, oh, so are you a comedian? And I was like, well, you could say that. And he's like, well, if you're not going to, I'm not going to. And I was like, oh,
that's
you're
the thing.
Right. Like, so I have to start saying that I'm a comedian.
Yeah. That's what, because I've had that similar situation. It's like, oh yeah, if I don't think I'm a comedian, no one's going to think I'm a comedian.
Exactly.
And like when people, it does suck because when you say you're a comedian, there's so much weight to it.
Right.
You're like, oh really? Like that's your job? Like,
yeah.
No.
Absolutely not.
But that's just because they don't understand the structure behind it.
Right.
But
at that time I wasn't even a year in. And so for me, I was like, I don't deserve to be able to call myself a comedian, but like, you know, other people around me would, you know, like if they were introducing me to somebody else, they'd be like, oh, Sam's a comedian.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, these people are calling me a comedian. Like, why not me?
Exactly. And I'm going to brag. Rolling Stone referenced me as a comedian.
Excuse?
Me and 30 other nameless people. But I was still on that list.
What happened? Oh, back in your improv days?
I did an improv sketch in which everyone dressed up as Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
And there was like 30 of us.
Right.
And the article is really for the guy who put it together because he's a teacher at UCB and just hilarious. The guy is one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And... John Murray, so good, and he's a big reason I do comedy. But the thing is, I did it with him, and it was so much fun, and it was great. And the article was about him, but it referenced the 30 other comedians that were on stage with him,
right?
And I was like, yeah,
hell yeah,
I'm a comedian.
I
actually thought it was, I loved it, I thought it was hilarious. And as a bit, I shared the article, like, yeah, no big deal,
that's so great.
But then people are like, no, that's actually really cool. I was like, oh shit, it's like,
it is cool,
I guess. And then so, like, I've slowly been saying I'm a comedian,
mm-hmm.
just really get people to go to the shows, because as that guy said, it's like, if you don't say it, I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, no one's gonna want to come see a non-comedian.
Right. Absolutely. You know, yeah. Brandon Scott Wolf had a really funny status.
Fuck that guy. I love him to death.
I just flipped off the microphone.
Yeah.
But
you're gonna hear Brandon.
That's right. Ha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha.
I really love that podcast.
Always Been Silly.
Oh, Always
Did you hear
silly.
The new one?
With
Quincy Jones.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
it's great.
We released it last week. I'm assuming the other one is being released with this episode. I sent it to them yesterday. I haven't heard back, but they do the posting.
Okay.
They have they use a different service that they still have.
Yeah.
But I will. You got to download it. It's good. They have some real killer guests.
Oh,
too.
I'm a subscriber, man. I love that.
I meant that to the general.
Should all download all the podcast.
You three should totally listen to this podcast. I know I was looking at you very intensely when I said that.
Right.
Body language, but it's so good. They've had some great guests.
Oh yeah, they really have.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, so I think this was before you were the producer on it, but I think I don't think I've ever laughed harder at a podcast than like their episode with Sam Evans.
Oh, it was
so
amazing.
Good.
Yeah, I listened to parts of that because I was cutting together the intro, a temporary intro for them. And I was listening to his episode just because it was one of the episodes that were there. He wrote the original song and all that stuff. I'm like, that's hilarious.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And he's on the intro. I cut it up and just had like, I think he's on the intro. I'll have to double check.
I think so. It's like a bunch of people that have done the podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 It needs some work. The problem is the quality is not great and I'm having a hard time getting it to the level I wanted to get at, but we'll get there. I'm just a real stickler.
Well, it's good because the podcasts that you do usually sound really good. So.
I like acoustics. I like them a lot. Now, if only I knew the internet. Like, I know acoustics.
Right.
But that's another problem. Sam, are you ready for the definitive Sam Rose interview?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
Are you sure?
I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
Do you have your phone on you?
I do.
What was your last tweet?
Okay. I just tweeted it, a few hours ago while you were in the room.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay. My last tweet was, I love hashtag Hasidic people. Because I get to see what my life would be like in just a slightly alternate timeline.
Did you get the retweets?
Not yet. They usually come a day or two later.
Okay, fair.
All right. To catch your listenership up, though, anytime I tweet anything that has to do with Hasidic Jews, there are at least 3 to 4 Hasidic people that will just straight up retweet me no matter what I've said. So I'm really going for those easy retweets with this one.
Fair.
Although it is a thing that I think about. Like, because on my mom's side of the family, there was some, like, I mean, like, generations of, like, rabbis and stuff like that. And, you know, had my grandfather decided to be, like, remain very Orthodox, I could very well be something like those people with the curlies on the train, you know? Yeah, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I feel you. My grandmother came from a Amish family, or like Pennsylvania Dutch.
Okay.
And yeah, we were like one step away from doing that.
Right.
But I don't think the Hasidim of the North Atlantic. What's up?
The Hasidim of the North Atlantic.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. All right. Number two. What is the movie you have seen the most?
Oh, will it be different than the last time we talked about this? Because I've been on this podcast before.
Oh, you have.
It's going to be Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, which one?
At this point, probably Last Crusade.
That's right. We have talked about that. That's a good one. That's the one I've seen the most.
Sean Connery.
Ooh, it's either that or the Legion of Doom. Not the Legion
Temple
of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
That's the one I've watched the least amount, and I've seen the fourth one.
I have
more than that, probably.
See, the thing is, I saw Legion of Doom when I was Temple of Doom when I was very young.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of cartoony and sillier, so I watched that a lot more.
It terrified me as a child, and I think that's why I gravitate towards the other ones.
Okay, see, I watched that one, and then when I got older, I started watching The Last Crusade, and I was like, oh, this one is far superior to that one. So much better.
My favorite used to be, oh my god.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders. That used to be my favorite one. And then, as I got older, I started to appreciate the humor in Last Crusade more.
Yeah.
And because that one's like, that's funny.
It's a funny movie.
It's funny.
But it's very subtle.
It is very subtle. Yeah. And it's because it's Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other ones, they have some funny moments or whatever. But like that one is like a legitimately funny movie.
Yep.
And I think as I've gotten older, I think that's probably why that one's my favorite.
Yeah, that's definitely why I've gravitated towards it is whatever makes me laugh is going to win out every time.
Totally. And it's not a comedy. But it's just like an action movie that is funny, and it's not one of those action comedies. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly,
like it's not Rush Hour, which is great or whatever, but like it's like a sort of an action adventure movie that also is just generally really funny.
Exactly. It's subtle. And then I thought the writing was great, and the characters and the relationships that they all had was phenomenal.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
It was so good.
Yeah, that's my favorite one for sure.
Yeah, it was so good. Could you put a number on that?
I mean, upwards of 20 for sure.
Cool.
And that's probably just in like the last, you know, like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
What movie have I seen the most?
Spaceballs.
Yeah. I've
and one then after that is Star Wars. All the
time. Oh yeah, definitely. Without a doubt, there's no question. And oh, yeah. I think after that is probably Indiana Jones.
Is that right?
All three of them.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Do you know Will Watkins? You know Will Watkins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's a huge Indiana Jones nerd too.
Oh, I'll have to talk to him. I love
Yeah,
that
he stuff. Like knows a lot of like he knows a lot of like Indiana Jones trivia that like I did not know, and I thought I knew a lot of it.
Oh yeah. See, I don't know it nearly as much as I know like Star Wars and Spaceballs, right. But I mean Spaceballs doesn't have much of a universe, but yeah. Star Wars definitely I'm much stronger in, but I still love those first three. Like they were so good. Mm-hmm. So good. Turns out I'm a genie. You have 3 wishes in 10 seconds. Go.
Okay. More money.
Correct.
I would like to be able to riff on stage.
Okay.
Okay. 3. Ooh.
Time's up.
Fuck.
I'll give you one more though, out of the pity of my soul.
Okay.
What? That made no sense.
No. Yeah, but I just not went with all. It. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, like, sure. One extra wish? Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah.
I probably said this last time, but like just like a rad apartment.
Oh, that's cool. I dig it.
I just want like a rad apartment.
That would be rad.
Yeah.
What is the magic word?
Please.
I like it. What's your last Google search?
Oh, God. Okay.
Which I know is a Pete Holmes special. But
it is.
God
but
damn, do I love that question.
You know how much I love Pete Holmes?
It's so... That's why I doubled down on it.
Okay. Let's find out here.
Mine, again, directions. Today, I looked directions how to get from where I work to here or where I work to get to my apartment. Which one was faster? Turns out going to my apartment was faster, so I got my bike.
Nice.
And got here faster.
Yeah, I'm constantly Google mapping things. Not because I don't know how to get there, but because I want to... I'm weird about time.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to know exactly when I should leave so I can get to there... To get to the place, like... Right when I want to be there. You know what I mean? So I'm like constantly Google.
Why wait around for 45 minutes for a train or a bus when you could just check and be like, oh, I have an extra half an hour to hang out with my friends, or be like, oh, I got to go by and like quickly get out of there so you get there on time. Yeah, it's
for sure.
It's the best.
For sure.
Technology, when used appropriately, is an amazing tool.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
And that's what you have to tell your hippie friends so they don't get mad at you for having
technology. Don't tell my hippie friends I got a smartphone. They will be devastated.
Oh no. Well, my internet isn't really working right now, but I can tell you that the last thing probably gonna be very embarrassing.
Did you Google anything? Oh, I know what it was. You were looking up stories for ufology.
I was. That is exactly what I the last thing I Googled. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
My last thing was literally how to get here. And from directions from here or my apartment.
Here, Area 51, where we record ufology.
Sorry. Yeah. How to get from Manhattan, New York to Nevada, Area 51. Right?
Is it Nevada? I think New Mexico.
New Mexico, Nevada?
I mean, we're there right now, and that's all
it's
that really
so
matters.
It's so close to the border. You just get very confused.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like when you're in Bed-Stuy and you're right next to Broadway, and you just cross Broadway, you're in Bushwick.
Or where I am, is
exactly
it Bushwick?
What it's like
is it Queens?
Is it Ridgewood? What is it? That's the sort of the same thing that we have. Is it New Mexico or is it Nevada?
Turns out, though, it's easier to get for me to get from Manhattan to Brooklyn to Area 51 than it is then just going from Manhattan to Area 51. So
yeah.
That was a fun fact.
You know, I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. The MTA / Area 51 A is very weird.
Such all the other public transportation.
Amtrak's.
Who is right?
Who is right? Pete Holmes.
There you go. Ooh, nice. Shout out to Pete Holmes.
Oh, I love him so much.
Really. One of my favorite podcasts, You Made It Weird. Big fan. So come on the podcast. Next question.
Yeah.
there is no question 7, so question 8.
Okay.
How is my hair?
Oh, it's great. You got that flip thing again. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I love it.
It's the
just
beard.
Happening.
The beard is killing it.
Aw, thanks. That's the next question. You nailed it.
Is it really?
The beard. It used to be, how is my hair? Now it's how's my hair? How's my beard?
Oh.
But everyone always brings up the fact that I apparently have a thick beard. Yeah. I am obsessive.
You do.
I'm getting better at it, but I'm actually unhealthily obsessive with checking in mirrors.
Dude, me too.
And so I see every little thing that's incorrect. It's like I was used to my dumb face, and so it didn't bother me. But now that I have a beard, it's like every little hair, every little space I see magnified by 10. Like I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I look like a shaggy dog that should just be put down. Yeah. And everyone's like, your beard's amazing. Like, yeah. it's coming in so much fuller than maybe theirs is.
Yeah.
And I don't see that. Like, I need, I'm just going with it. I'm like, sure. Yeah. And I'm letting it go. I'm going full lumberjack. Oh, so yeah. I got another, like,
it's 4 months.
Time.
It's going to be winter soon.
Yeah. It's been, it's major game changer, though.
Oh, I bet.
Everyone thinks I look almost my age. That's really great. Yeah. Ladies are into it too. Mm-hmm. Mostly just because I don't look like I'm 19 anymore.
Yeah, that's
like
good. No one likes a 19-year-old.
No one likes a 19-year-old, especially 31-year-olds.
No, maybe 17-year-olds.
We want nothing to do with them.
Yeah, for sure.
It's, yeah. All right. Well, thank you. My hair does look great. They get that flip in the front. Love it.
It's great.
It's just funky enough for
it
me.
It is. Yeah. Funky is the right word for that.
Yeah. It's not like boring. It's not like a boring part.
No.
It's a little.
And it's not like extra. It's not like weird Justin Bieber flip. It's like classy flip.
Yeah, it's like you could, if you had a surfboard, you could just like ride right down it.
You certainly could. You certainly could. Or a tech deck.
Ooh, there you go. Hell somebody yeah. get on that. Let's tech deck down my hair.
Fuck yeah.
I'm sorry, it's late. Bear with us here, guys. Time travel.
Yes.
When, where, why?
The 60s, France. Paris.
For what reason?
For what reason?
Yeah, what's going on in France at the in the 50s?
60s.
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 Other than World War II.
In the 60s?
40s? 40s. My yeah. bad. My bad. Listen, I'm a science guy. I don't know history.
I have this weird thing where I don't... Well, now I'm talking about it on a podcast, but like I don't know anything about film.
Okay.
But I really enjoy French New Wave film because sure. I know it's like the most hipster douchebaggery thing that you could say that you like. But like,
hey,
I...
you like what you like.
Yeah. No, I know.
Fuck them.
I know, but I like.
I am going to make fun of you afterwards, but love it anyway. That's right. You were, what, the other day you were like, we were joking around about like you perhaps being a hipster.
Right.
And what you listen to.
Yeah.
I listen to ska. You're gold. You well, are I listen, good to go.
I listen to ska too, but only second wave.
Oh, don't tell people that. It'll get, then you're just digging yourself a hole.
I know. I know. Hey, I love the Specials. But
well, you can't not love the Specials. They're great.
Yeah.
And do you listen to any other second wave?
Like Madness and the English Beat. And
sure, yeah, though, yeah, the popular ones are pretty good. I like yeah, those guys. There's yeah, a couple yeah. others. I don't remember the names though.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a fun. It's listen, not my ideal wave of ska.
Really?
I think it's my least favorite, which is still I love it.
Mm-hmm.
First wave is probably my favorite,
mm-hmm.
and then third wave / fourth wave, like the punkier stuff.
Right.
I enjoy that because I like moving around. But I think my sure. favorite stuff is the slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Old school stuff.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
Yeah. I went definitely. To a Scottalite show,
oh, that must
which they
great.
Still have guys who are like 50. The one guy's like 80 years old,
yeah.
still playing the sax.
Oh.
I have never danced so hard
really?
Than at a Scottalite show. It
oh,
was
I
the
bet.
Best. It
I
was
bet.
The absolute best.
That's rad. See, I got into it because my mom lived in the UK like in the 80s. And so,
oh, there you go.
Like growing up, we were just listening to the Specials of the English Beat like all the time.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. That's yeah. really awesome.
It is. It's super rad. And then I got in, like, so I like that stuff. And then that's why I sort of liked bands like Operation Ivy, because
so
it was like
good.
Ska punk. But I just never really got into that sort of like Real Big Fish sort of that kind of thing. I always felt that that was too goofy.
Oh, so goofy. But right. that's why, I mean, I went from like Weird Al Yankovic
sure.
to like, I had like all his yeah. stuff.
Well, have you seen that Tumblr that's like just pictures of ska bands and improv troupes and it doesn't tell you which it is and you have to guess if it's a ska band or an improv troupe?
Oh,
and you get
God.
It wrong every single time.
I need to find that because I'm going to hate myself.
It is you.
I love it.
It's
me.
You.
I
it's
love,
like,
that's the thing. I love like silly, goofy stuff.
Yeah.
So like seeing like Real Big Fish live was great.
Right.
They were so much fun.
Yeah.
And I love the light, the poppy stuff. But I also like the like the original like Catch 22 or
uh-huh.
something like the Toasters where
sure.
they're like a happy medium.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Of, like when they started, they were almost like second wave.
Right.
And then they got faster. And then, like, that's what I'm into. It's like a very fast second, first wave type
right.
feel.
Right, right, right.
That is my perfect, like the perfect third wave
sure.
band for me. But
sure.
I like Real Big Fish. I'm not going to lie. The old stuff. New stuff is hit very
yeah.
mostly miss.
Right.
I'll take a single here and there, but that's it. After everything sucks, I think I'm out.
Is that the name
nope.
of the album?
Yeah. Everything Sucks?
That's a Descendants album.
Everything Sucks is definitely an album, but I think I have it incorrect. So I think Everything Sucks was like a re-release of their first album with some new stuff.
Oh.
And then it was whatever was the one that had Sellout.
Right.
Which
okay.
maybe Everything Sucks.
That was
about.
On
I
the soundtrack for Tony Hawk Pro Skater, what, 3?
Probably, yeah.
No, actually, that was probably the first one, actually. That was probably the first Tony Hawk.
First Tony Hawk had Goldfinger.
Yes.
Superman on Hang-Ups. That's which right. That introduced me to that. Yep. That's what introduced me to Pop Ska. Before that, I was listening to like the original Catch 22. Right. And then that's what introduced me to Pop Ska. And I was like, the like hipster in me was like, don't do it.
But yeah.
just the ever-loving, joyous child in me was like, yeah, let's dance. For sure.
Those soundtracks for those games were
good. They're all really good. The first one though, because there's only like a handful of songs, you could burn that CD and it would probably be my favorite CD. Like they had amazing stuff. They had Dead Kennedys on there. They had Superman, not Superman, Goldfinger. They also had Suicide Machines. It was amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. The third one was really good too. I remember like they had like GBH and like a bunch of like old school like British punk that like
so cool
I was into, and so yeah, it was like really rad. Yeah, I was never good at, I would never actually skated myself because I was too terrified to do it, but
did you skate?
No, I mean, okay. I tried,
yeah,
because my brother did.
Yeah,
my brother really did, but I was never very good at it. I was too scared.
I was with I had so many of my friends skated.
Yeah.
Also, like, me too. I was always like, I spent the first 28 years of my life just trying to fucking fit in, I failed miserably. The closest I came to fitting in is when I found Ultimate and all my hippie friends, like, in college. Like, that was the closest. But, like, growing up, all my friends skateboarded.
Yeah.
I tried. I'm terrible at it. I worked at a skate shop for 5 years. I still can't, like, roll on a skateboard.
I'm awful. Yeah. I'm really terrible because I'm too afraid to get hurt. I'm just like too afraid to get hurt. So I could never be good at it.
I don't want to get hurt. Also, the tricks and stuff are not, they don't, like, get me jazzed.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, this is obviously like nothing outweigh, like it's the end goal does not outweigh any part of the process.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this is not fun.
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I landed a pop shove it, I was very excited.
If you can land a pop shove it, you are a legit skater.
I
could not.
Oh, really? Because I was constantly called a poser.
I once tried to ollie and I was like, oh, this is a nightmare. And I never did it again.
Oh, wow.
The most I did was roll down a hill. On my ass.
Still
scary.
I used to practice skating like in my house. My brother would when my parents were gone, my brother would lay out a towel and then just put the skateboard on the towel, and he would just watch me try an ollie, and he would like give me pointers and stuff like
that's
that.
That's awesome. Oh, so it was like brother bonding.
Yeah, like that's awesome. He would really try to get me to be good at skating, but I'm just too afraid of getting hurt, too anxious about it. I just was so not good at it.
Yeah.
So not good at it. But he really tried. He really tried to get me to be good at skateboarding, but it's never going to work.
I did a little bit of longboarding because the skateboard company I worked for was longboarding. So like I learned how to turn. I was doing fine. And so I would go with friends.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother a few years ago, he fell and he had to get stitches on his head.
Oh, wow.
And just to see the look on his face being like he's one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And he was just like, the fuck am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like, I should have. And like the look on his face is just being like very serious about it. I was like, oh, I'm done. I've never had fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm never going back. And I haven't even wanted a skateboard or looked at a skateboard anything.
I have, mostly because I hate having to walk from where I am to a train.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I just want it for that like 10 minutes.
Yep.
Because I'll get there so much quicker.
Yeah, you should get
that's all I want.
Well, next year, I have all these lofty goals. Like, if I can save up some money, I want to just get like a small foldable bike.
Oh.
So then I can do that. And then I can just like kind of throw it in like my big, gross backpack.
Yeah,
I can
for
just
sure.
throw it in there and be fine.
Yeah. Every time I think about a skateboard, then I just remember like all the times I've seen my brother just wreck himself.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's so easy. Like, on a bike, you're fine. But like on a skateboard, no, there's too many issues.
My brother was
in
college. He was probably a sophomore in college, and he was away down in Southern California, and me and my family were still living in Northern California, and me and my dad are at the sports bar watching a basketball game, and he gets a call from my brother, and he goes, what? I can't hear you. Well, slow down. And he couldn't really understand what my brother was saying because he had bailed so hard on his skateboard, landed face first, and all of his front teeth are just like dangling out of his mouth.
Oh, God.
And so my dad couldn't understand a goddamn word he was saying because he couldn't talk.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, look, you're obviously very hurt. I will be there in 5 hours, or you can call your girlfriend and she can take you to the hospital. And so his girlfriend took him to the hospital. And then the next time we saw him, he had these like sort of like temporary braces and stuff like that. He had like road rash all over his face. Like, oh. I'm just like, that is why I don't do it.
No, it's not worth it. It's not like, I never enjoyed it nearly enough. I'm not going to be professional.
No,
I'm not.
Never.
I didn't even enjoy just rolling. I was like, I did it to try to fit in with people and like failed miserably.
Yeah.
Which turns out if you're just yourself, those people still loved me for the same stuff. But like, I was like, no, I need to fit in.
Yeah.
I did the same thing with music.
Oh, yep.
Oh yeah. You're a musician or were.
Yeah. Well, actually I mean, I don't play music anymore, but I do have something that, me and my friend, recorded like 4 years ago that it's finally going to come out pretty soon. So
yeah. Really excited, like a whole album. That.
It's probably like, I guess like an EP, sort of like 5 songs.
Cool, man.
Like
that. That's awesome. Let me know when that comes out. I will be very excited to hear.
Yeah, it's really interesting because like so he's a friend that I grew up with. And then we went to college in the same town, the town we grew up in. And we got together and we started just making like electronic music. Sort of like, I hate the name of the genre, but it's chill wave, right?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, good.
I was never a big believer in the genre, subgenre, genre,
yeah,
subgenre.
It's like very...
I if it's cool, cool. If it's not, whatever.
It's like electronic, but it's like very like, there's lots of reverb and it's like slow and it's like, I don't know. It's very relaxing, I guess.
Hey,
whatever.
I'm on board. Let's do it.
It was very hip in like 2008 through 2010,
okay.
Right? And so we made a bunch of songs and we were both terrible at writing lyrics. So we just never did it. And we've been sitting on these songs. They're all like mastered and mixed and whatever. We've had them forever. And we're just like never doing anything with them. And then I just had this idea and I was like, oh, I'll just take all those songs and give them to my friend who I went to high school with, who is like a professional musician and she sings. I'll just give them to her. She'll sing over them. We'll release it as like this EP. And my friend was like, yeah, fucking let's do that.
Awesome.
And so like 4 years later, this thing is just gonna come out on Bandcamp and no one will see it, but I'm just like really excited finally for it to be out there.
I'm gonna post it everywhere.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, this is gonna be your biggest nightmare.
Oh hell yeah.
That's fucking awesome. You have to let me know.
Yeah.
So what is the deal with existence and stuff?
There's no point.
Fair.
Yeah.
There you go.
There is no point.
Sam, do you want to play a game?
Yes, please.
You want to play Pitch It?
Fuck yes.
I'm gonna let you pick the show. Well, you know, this is great. I don't have to explain or anything.
No,
you know what's going on.
I know this goddamn
people
game.
People listening know what's going on.
Fuck yeah.
What show you been watching, or what show would you like to do?
Okay. I've been watching a lot of Kroll Show and a lot of Veep. So I feel like Veep is probably the easiest one we can do. Have you done that yet?
Even if we have, I don't remember. So okay. Let's do it. Veep,
right,
will be fun.
Veep.
Yeah, that we should be able to just rapid fire this.
Oh hell yeah.
What's the main character's name?
Oh my god. Why am I... Why I'm totally blanking on her name.
I can't like remember her name.
Elaine from Seinfeld. Julie Louis-Dreyfus. But
yeah, that's... I'm like, oh, I got those down. Well, I'll just say Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay, great. Holy crap. I know the names of other characters. Why am I blanking on the protagonist? I can't...
Yeah, I
it's
can't
so
remember.
Weird.
It's such a bummer.
I watch like 3 episodes a night, too, because I'm like catching up. And they're like, oh my god.
Yeah. But don't worry about it. I'm going to say JLD.
JLD. All right.
No,
I like it. I like it. JLD.
JLD tries to become the vice president, but fails in this new spinoff in Weep.
Oh, very good.
She gets very sad and cries a lot.
JLD is in Los Angeles and gets cut off on the highway 405 in Beep.
Yeah, there it is. That's that nice. JLD starts creep. Someone's creeping her out. I was like trying to think of like
sure.
But I didn't want to just be like someone's stalking her. I'm like, that's weird. I don't like that.
Sure.
There you go. Lots of clowns show up in V Creep.
In Creep.
That works. Also, I shouldn't say the name in
JLD goes fishing out on the open ocean in deep sea fishing.
JLD goes to a baseball game in the bleacher seats in Cheap.
Oh, very good. JLD quits politics to work on a farm in Reap.
and then has a spin-off show or a prequel in Sheep.
Oh, that's good.
There it is.
That's very good.
I thought you were literally going to take that one. I was thinking, I was like, no!
JLD trains really hard for the Olympics, and she gets to go for the hurdles in Leap.
Oh, nice.
I guess that should be long jump, but whatever.
Heap. But it's sure. Like, what is that, a pile? Like a pile
yeah.
of stuff?
Yeah.
JLD throws stuff in a pile in Heap.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the worst. Absolute worst. I'm really good at rhyming, and that's where I'm lost.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
JLD becomes a hoarder, and you know, people come in and say, hey, you got to get rid of some of this stuff in Keep.
Nice. Yo, JLD gets an extra 8 hours in Sleep.
Oh, very good. That's very good. Oh, got it. JLD is on network TV, but she has a really dirty mouth in Bleep.
Ah! Oh, no. Oh, I'm hurting now. Oh, I don't even know how JLD is waterlogged in Seep.
God damn it. I was just thinking Seep.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Oh no. I think, oh no. Oh no. I don't think there is anything else.
Oh, we can do this.
Okay. JLD goes to a store where they're having a sale. Buy one, get one. Freep. That's not a word, but I like it anyway.
I will allow it. I was trying to think of like a word that ends with eep, but like is way bigger at the beginning.
Oh.
But I couldn't think of anything.
Oh. Well, okay. I have a really weird one. Shout out to my buddy Richie Rehal for this one, right? Because I'll explain it afterwards because no one is gonna get it. JLD goes to India and meets a lot of people there in Deep, because all of my friend Richie's friends are last name or at the end of their name is either Jeet or Deep. So
fair.
Shout out Richie.
There you go. I think this one. Let's see. Oh, JLD gets into longboarding racing in Steep.
Oh, that's really good. That's very good.
Or she made tea in Steep.
Oh, okay.
I'm making sure you can't take that.
I also like that one. Yeah. Oh no. We already did Leap.
JLD is ends up adopting a kid in Keep.
Oh, okay. Got one.
Yeah.
JLD gets real creepy and becomes a voyeur in Peep.
Ah. new co-star in with JLD is nope. I don't know. Meeper from the Muppets. JLD's becomes a Muppet in Meep.
Meep. There you go.
That's better.
I didn't know what to do with Meep, and I was like, who goes Meep Meep? And I couldn't
Meeper,
remember.
Meeper, my man.
Oh no.
Professor Bunsen or just Bunsen?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the Muppets.
Me neither. That's what the nerd said when I was doling out wedgies at Comic-Con this weekend.
Yeah, fuck those
nerds.
Such nerds.
This coming from the guy who went to Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah. Oh, that looks so fun.
Holy shit. Next time comes around, you have to go. I mean, I go to them every time they're around, or have tried to. It's just pure unadulterated joy. Uh-huh. It is just full grown wrestling, like wrestlers, full grown men and women, poor wrestlers, dressing up as monsters and destroy fake buildings in a ring. And it is just pure unadulterated joy.
It sounds so fun.
Oh my God. I just smile from ear to ear. It's the best.
Sounds so great.
I think I'm tapped out.
Did we do cheap yet?
Yeah, we did cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap seats.
Cheap seats.
Cheap.
Leap.
She tries out more like trick skating in Fleep?
Like flip?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
That's generous of you.
We did Reap, we did Keep, we did Deep, we did
Peep. Something with Meryl Streep.
Oh, that's...
But I don't know how else to... Like, new... I don't know. Oh, JLD... no, Julie... Yeah, JLD takes over a role in a autobiographical documentary. Or no, fictional documentary. Or are... Is in a movie called Streep.
Streep.
Meryl, it's about Meryl Streep. It's called Streep.
Streep.
Leif, geez, we made it. I should have left. I should have gotten off.
We got it.
Gotten off that minutes ago.
I think that's it. I can't think of any others. Surely, who's your friend who will listen to this and will fix everything?
Eric, fix this.
Yeah, fix it. Because I remember you had a really great one for Frasier one time.
Yeah, he killed it. Yeah. Yeah, we listen. We read the comments. I just,
hell yeah.
I'm bad at writing back.
Hell yeah.
Also, Steve listens to this, and he sometimes likes to send me a message. It's been a while, though.
Oh. Shout out. My mom has listened to your show. She listened to Rachel's episode, but not mine.
Oh, sick burn, mom.
Pretty sick burn.
Well, you can tell her that there are 27 other episodes that you're not on.
Yeah.
If she's looking for something to listen to.
She probably is.
Yeah. And she listened to half of the one with you and Brian.
That's right. Every time I'm on, she just mutes it.
If she wants like a specific version, I can cut you out of those episodes and just send it to her.
That would be ideal. That would be we'll just send it off to the rest of my family.
There you go.
It'd
yeah.
be great.
Oh man. I think we're good. It is way past my bedtime.
Yeah.
This was a fun episode. Quick, powerful, energetic.
Hell yeah.
Solid hour. That was awesome.
Very stoked.
And I say that like it being quick is a bad thing. I actually, this episode was a lot of fun for me.
It was great. I had a great
fun
time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For this and ufology and all the other stuff. Also, like, I think you're one of the first people I actually got to know in stand-up.
Yeah.
And you are a huge reason I still go to open mics because I was terrified and scared and just done with it.
Yeah.
But you are a kind, generous person.
I am a general.
You are also a general.
I am very much a general.
Yes, sir.
4-star.
Yes, sir.
I think. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
That might be for Admiral.
Or is that not for movies?
Yeah, that's definitely... I am on Rotten Tomatoes.
He scores a 4-star on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
I don't know if that's how that works, but nope. It is now.
Yelp.
As far as I'm concerned.
Find me on Yelp.
Yeah. Oh, plug time. I almost left without plugs.
Oh, okay.
What do you have to plug?
Okay. I'm on Twitter at Sam Corey Rose. No E in Corey. You can find me on Instagram at medium_soup. Yes, it is a reference to Pete Holmes. Shout out to Pete Holmes.
Petey, my homeboy.
Pete Pants, yeah.
We just made two deep cut references to that. That's not good. It is time for us to get out of here.
6 pumps if you count in and out. Anyway, I have a show at the end of every month now at the Experiment Comedy Gallery that I host with my friend Jess Reed. It's called Fetch.
It's a great show.
If you live in New York, come see it.
Yeah, and this will be out.
So this one is going to be...
This is coming out like in a few hours.
Great. October 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the Experiment Comedy Gallery. It's the basement level. Everyone will be hanging out in front. Just ask and we'll point you in the right direction.
It's so good. It is so good. Don't you also do a podcast?
I do a podcast, Ufology, with my co-host Brian Bahi and my wonderful producer, Leif.
Hey, that's me. It's a great show. I love it. It's been so much fun. And because of that podcast, I also have other projects that are coming out in the near future. So keep your eyes on the internet. Believe me, follow me on Twitter, friend me on Facebook. @SaidLeif is Twitter. I'm LeifLeif on Facebook. You're going to hear all about it. Everyone's going to hear all about it. It's going to be really obnoxious, but there's a lot of really fun stuff coming your way. So if you're into this podcast, listen to Ufology. If you're into that podcast, which if you're into this podcast, you're definitely into Ufology. There are so many more fun things coming out.
Yeah.
Sam, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. It's bedtime. Good night, everyone. Bye.
Good night.